Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, did Antonio Brown get frostbitten feet and that's why he's not playing with the Raiders? Also, Tom Brady's house hunt has people wondering if this is the end of the road. Next hour, Marty Smith from ESPN is going to join us here on the show to talk a little college football. All of that coming up in the final 2 hours of the DA. We were just talking about this story, the Rich Paul rule, where the NCAA instituted prerequisites yesterday where an NBA agent, an agent rather, that is trying to carry a client from college basketball to the NBA needs to have been NBPA certified, that's their Players Association for the NBA, certified for at least 3 straight years, have professional liability insurance, and have a bachelor's degree. This bachelor's degree is now being touted as the Rich Paul rule because that is LeBron James's agent, Anthony Davis's agent, who's become a bit of a revolutionary in the NBA. And at least LeBron and a few others believe, including comedian Kevin Hart for some reason, that Rich Paul is being targeted by the powers that be because they don't want to see somebody like Rich Paul empowered and he does not have a bachelor's degree. So in my estimation, as I was just talking about it last hour, I think it makes sense if we were to believe the NCAA has the best intentions, and maybe that's dangerous, that they want guys going from high school to the NBA or 1 year of college to the NBA to be represented by people that actually have some type of education, because we have lots of players that have gone bankrupt and have had terrible financial advice, etc. It would seem to make sense. Bogus, you actually think that this is targeting Rich Paul. This is not for the best intention.
Well, I mean, listen, it's certainly plausible, DA, that the NCAA, who has been petty and overbearing at times, is targeting Rich Paul with this. But let's put Rich Paul aside.
And it's possible the NBA is leaning on the NCAA to do this because they don't like Rich Paul.
Yeah, I guess it is
possible.
Sure.
I will totally give that part of it up.
But let's just take Rich Paul out of the conversation. The idea from the NCAA is noble here, like to protect young players from bad advice. It's that should be what their goal is, part of their goal. So I'm okay with the test they want these men and women to take. Having them be certified for 3 straight years means that in theory they have some experience. They're not going to be first-timers who are going to mess up some college freshman or high school senior's life by telling them to make a bad decision. And sure, professional liability, all that stuff makes sense because that's about doing the job. That's about being an agent. You should know all the rules. You don't want to commit an NCAA violation. You should have all the financial and insurance backing in case you do mess up to try and make somebody whole again. All of that makes sense. Arbitrarily saying you need a college degree, just a college degree from anywhere in anything, seems unnecessary to me. It's not going to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, because a college degree is not going to make a college degree in something that has nothing to do with labor law, being an agent, unions, contract language. It's going to make you no different. Rich Paul could get a degree and however long it takes to get one online, he'd still be the same Rich Paul agent. He's not going to be different. He's still going to do his job for his clients amazingly well. Sometimes we're not going to like what he does, but it's not going to change him. If I wanted to be an agent and my degree was in history from like Williams College, it'd be a great degree, but it would do almost nothing for me as an agent. It wouldn't make me good or bad. It wouldn't make me a nice guy or a bad guy. It would just mean I have a history degree. So the thought is nice, but that one particular thing seems unnecessary because it's not going to affect the bottom line, so to speak.
That's fair. So it's like Rich Paul goes online to Phoenix Online and gets a degree in history and does that in
right.
2 years. That doesn't matter.
Changes nothing.
But I guess my question is, what happens if this is not about specifically Rich Paul having to change his ways, but it's trying to prevent the next Rich Paul?
But why? What's wrong with Rich Paul?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What part of this is dangerous to the NBA to say we don't want more Rich Pauls?
Well,
like getting a college degree is going to prevent guys being tight from the hood together?
No, I mean, to me, that's not a good enough reason to make an arbitrary thing. Like, because then you could just say anything. Well, who cares? It doesn't really matter. So let's leave it in place. That's not good enough for me to validate that being on a list of requirements.
I think, though, that what I'm saying is LeBron James and Kevin Hart are saying this is the Rich Paul rule.
Right,
okay?
Which probably, I mean, it might certainly be.
Maybe it is. But in that instance, the idea is the NBA is scared of too many Rich Pauls. How does requiring a college degree prevent Rich Pauls?
My thought, and again, this is probably not going to happen because Rich Paul works with other agents who could get the kids now who would meet all of these requirements, or they could be their agent from day one. I don't know how much this comes from the NBA because Rich Paul will be their agent. They can't stop Rich Paul. The NCAA doing this one, which is why it connects to him, is because he just took this kid, Darius Bazley, who was going to go to Syracuse and for whatever reason ended up saying, I'm going to the G League instead. And then all of a sudden he had a $1 million internship at New Balance.
That could be up to $12 million,
right,
I believe.
He worked out and then he got drafted. And Jim Boeheim hates Rich Paul, so the NCAA hates Rich Paul. So this is particularly attacking this one little subset of future NBA players. Which is why, I mean, it's super petty if it's about him. So, no, it doesn't eliminate him, but that's the point. Like, it doesn't eliminate him. So why even bother putting that little line on this list of requirements?
Because it doesn't eliminate Rich Paul, and because I don't see how it prevents the next Rich Paul, it just seems like a proper requirement. Like I was telling you, if my sports agency that represents me had a requirement, hey, you got to have a degree to represent DA or somebody else in the shop, I'd be like, that's a good rule. If the union here at CBS Sports Radio, for those behind the scenes at SAG-AFTRA, they were like, hey, if you want to lead the union, if you want to represent the union in any way, you've got to have a bachelor's degree. I would think that those are seemingly very sensible and reasonable requirements.
Sure. I mean, now you have an agent. I've had meetings with agents who then didn't become my agents. And
Mraz is kind of your de facto
right, that's true.
Agent.
And I choose not to ask about his educational background for obvious reasons. But when I've met with agents, we've talked about their clients and what they've done for those men and women and where they're working and where they were when they met. I didn't go, oh, by the way, where'd you graduate from? Now, if there was a diploma on the wall and it said like the Wharton Business School, I might go, okay, that even more
would reassuring. Would it make you feel more better if they did? Knowing that you didn't even have to ask.
Yeah, but guys who went to the Wharton Business School or any other quality business school still might be idiots and still might get swindled by and tricked by a GM and still not be good face-to-face in negotiations. Like, that's my point. Like, I know me. Like, I have a college degree, right? So I meet that initial requirement from the NCAA. I could get certified, I would assume, by the MBPA for 3 years. Now that's done. I'll get my insurance. I'll go take this NCAA test. I could study for it. I'll pass it. Now I'm an agent. Now I'm allowed to talk to a kid coming in out of high school to be in the NBA. But guess what? I'm still going to suck in a room talking to you, the GM, in any kind of negotiation because I'm not quick on my feet. I can't think three steps ahead. I'm not a ultimatum guy. I'm not going to lie and go, well, I got an offer for this for $5 million when I don't have an offer. Like, that's just not how I work, which therefore makes me a bad agent completely regardless of all of those other things. So, like, my degree, which could be an agent 101. I could have been trained to be an agent since I was 13 years old. I may know all of the ins and outs of being an agent, but I can't be one because of, like, the person that I am and the way that my mind works and my head works. So, like, I just, like, all that stuff doesn't matter. And just saying arbitrarily that you have a college degree doesn't make any sense to me. You want to put any kind of specific, like, unique to the situation requirements, like the liability, like the test, I'm fine. If there was a version of an agent's aptitude test, make them take it. But to just say you got to have a piece of paper that may have nothing to do with this job seems too much and unnecessary.
All right, no, you bring up a good point. I think I would feel far more comfortable. You're right that you bring that up. I would feel far more comfortable if this rule was you have to have a degree in five or six different specific.
If they said you should have a law degree. I go, okay, now that makes sense.
Or a finance degree or a CPA background or something like that. If it was specific, you're right. It shouldn't just be like you can have a major in philosophy or a degree in philosophy.
Because that doesn't make you smart or legitimate. I still might give you bad information because I'm trying to whatever. Like it doesn't disqualify you from being a bad agent that you have a college degree.
Now, a law degree might prevent some people from being able to get into it because financially and time wise, it's a huge investment.
Absolutely.
Right? And so maybe that's a little bit too much. But a bachelor's degree in finance, that seems like a legitimate requisite, right?
I mean, I couldn't tell you what if you were an adult now, you know, past being 18, 19, if you were going to go to like an online place or take night classes. I have no idea what the time commitment would be, but it just, again, ends up being unnecessary for the NCAA to dictate it. This would be a different conversation if the NBPA all of a sudden was like, here's our new requirements because we have too many bad seeds among us. We're now upping the ante in how you'd be an agent.
Okay, so that's a good question.
From day one. Now, that's a different conversation.
If the NBAPA, if this was just simply an NBAPA rule change yesterday, because the NBAPA was worried about Rich Paul or people like Rich Paul, would there be a freak out?
I think there'd be less of a freak out. It'd be a little more palatable if the person that's actually, like, quote-unquote, confirming you had this rule, at least for me. I still would think if you just arbitrarily said retroactively you need to have a college degree, it just any college degree, it still seems like it doesn't accomplish the point.
That's fair.
But it would be different if the NBA part of this was in charge of this rule. The NCAA adding other layers on that have nothing to do with basketball / NCAA rules, it just seems unnecessary.
That's fair. I would prefer to see the NCAA say it needs to be a law degree, it needs to be a finance degree, it needs to be under one of these couple of umbrellas. Because you're right, it shouldn't just be European history, okay, right. You're okay to be an agent. But I do like the idea of upping the ante of having to be an agent, that you can't just become an agent. I like the idea that there is a couple of things to hurdle to jump over.
Right.
Because you are managing, ultimately, people's lives and multi-million dollar contracts now to the point where you're managing hundreds of millions of dollars for people.
Now, and in all clarity, I'm pretty heartless when it comes to the NBA draft in particular. I don't think there should be any restrictions. I think you should, if you want to go after high school, like the one that you should be, whatever it is, 17, 18, but there should be no college requirement. If you want to go, just go. I think there should be more rounds. I don't think that you can necessarily set up the system to protect everybody. Like, you're not going to be able to keep guys from getting bad advice. You're not going to be able to stop people who shouldn't be in the draft for declaring from the draft. Like, that's just going to have to happen. It sucks. And again, I know it's heartless, but like, the awesome players should not be held back or in any way restricted because we're trying to protect like the bottom rung of this little mini basketball society.
855,
I don't want any rules.
855-212-4227 is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. That's toll free, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. John is in Houston, listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, DA. I kind of agree with you. I think you need a degree because I think some standards need to be set. Because let's say I'm going to be a pro or something like that. I just don't want some guy from the neighborhood who's a really good friend of mine representing me or something like that. And I know it doesn't guarantee proper representation, but I just think it'll prevent more of the things that happened to Adrian Peterson and some of these other athletes getting poor advice. So anyway, thank you for listening to me, DA, and have a great day.
You got it, John. Now, let's be fair. Who knows? Adrian Peterson might have gone through the most reputable agent ever and has had 10 years, 20 years experience and still gotten terrible advice financially. It doesn't mean that he just got advice from his family or his boys from back home. I mean, who knows where that came from? And your wants are different from other people's wants. I just, in my mind, I don't mind making it harder to be a person that manages millions of dollars. You know, to me, these guys, think about the contracts that we're seeing be signed. They're $100 million, $200 million, $175 million. I don't think it's a bad thing to want there to be a heightened restriction on agents so that you can't just jump into it being like, oh yeah, I want to do that. Well, that's a really important, significant job to people's lives. It can ruin people's lives if you do it poorly. This is their shot at generational wealth to change their entire family's trajectory. I just don't want to see people in there that are irresponsible or just kind of jumping into it because, hey, it looks really fun and cool. Now, maybe getting certification from the NBPA for 3 consecutive years is harder than I'm making it out to be. I'm just saying I don't mind making it more restrictive and harder so that if you want to go into it, you know the people that are in it that are qualified at that level to go to the NBA are really serious about the craft. And Rich Paul, I've got no problem with Rich Paul. I mean, I don't love Anthony Davis sitting out games in the middle of a season because he wants to be traded, but I'm not a guy that's anti-player empowerment. What I do hope is that you don't have 18 and 19-year-olds swayed by their best friends being like, you know what, Rich Paul did it, so now you're the next Rich Paul. I'd like to see if you're going to be the next Rich Paul, you've got to have significant labor that you've put in, effort that you've put in. And maybe that just simply comes from the 3 years of the NBAPA. Sergio's next up in Virginia, listening on 1300 of CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Serge?
Hey, good morning, DA. Thanks for taking my call. So I completely agree with you on all the points you're making, but I have to add something. I'm a LeBron James fan, and I'm kind of disappointed in the way he responded via Twitter. I mean, I feel like it was condescending, and he's kind of like discrediting the whole bachelor's degree thing. It's like, what message are you sending to the community? You know what I mean? Like, I'm biracial. You know, it's like, I went to college. I got a 4-year degree. Like, what's wrong with that? You know, like, I don't think it's a Rich Paul rule. I think it's a cop out on their part, and I don't think it's wrong for the NCAA to instill this rule.
It's interesting because LeBron has been about education. I mean, when you look at LeBron's school, I mean, he is giving underprivileged youth a direct line to a higher education at the University of Akron. If you were in good standing at his school and graduate, you get to go to Akron for free, which is an amazing opportunity, which is really probably the most important thing he's ever done, far more than anything on the basketball court, is that he is enriching kids that are not able to get into college or afford college a direct pathway to free college at a good university, which is amazing. So he is about education in that way. I just wonder when you throw this is the Rich Paul rule, they're against Rich Paul. I'm not sure what they're so scared about where Rich Paul is separated from education. That the NBA, does the NBA feel on its interior, hey, if we've got guys with an education, they won't be as aggressive as Rich Paul? That part that's where I think it feels weird for LeBron and other guys to just say, oh, that's what this is about. That the NCAA, I mean, what do they care if Rich Paul destroys the NBA, you know? If they create all types of chaos in the NBA. And if the NBA is leaning on the NCAA to do this, what do they think prevents player empowerment by having required a degree? And if this is about trying to get Rich Paul decertified, I mean, Rich Paul can get a degree in how much time online and never leave his house. So that's where I don't understand kind of blanket statement, this is the Rich Paul rule. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. More of your thoughts on the NCAA's decision on this rule. Also, Brady is house hunting. Are Patriots fans starting to get a little worried? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Oh, wow, he's coughing. Oh, now they're spit. They're spit right on his chin, dripping. Oh, that's a gag.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
26 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Wednesday morning. The DA show available if you miss anything or want to hear it again in podcast form. All you need to do here on the DA show is search our show's name on iTunes or radio.com and other places podcasts are downloaded, and you can listen to full episodes and also full episodes of the Permission Granted podcast. It's the DA Show on demand, anywhere you want, whenever you want. A lot of good conversation about the quote-unquote Rich Paul rule, which I'll jump back into coming up here in a few moments. But first, this story about Tom Brady looking to sell his house in Boston. Patriots fans are scared. They're worried that this could be the sign of the beginning of the end. Note that Tom Brady's contract, while it was quote-unquote an extension, really only upped his salary for this season. And that next season, he's kind of back to being a free agent. I mean, the next year after this is essentially void. And so this doesn't really change anything about long-term stability within the Patriots organization. It was just to get him a raise this year. He has now listed his five-bedroom home in Brookline, just outside of Boston, at $40 million, just under, $39.5 million. Three-car garage. It's 5 acres, sits on a right against a 9-hole golf course of the country club. It's very, very nice. $20 million bucks or $30 million bucks or whatever. $40 million bucks. Page 6 of the New York Post is reporting that Brady and his wife Giselle have been house hunting in Greenwich, Connecticut and in New Jersey. Now, Greenwich, Connecticut and outside of New Jersey are New York City-based enclaves. Those are not places that you live in and that you commute to Boston or have Boston as your home. Those are places that you live in to have New York City as your home. So, could this be Tom Brady preparing for life after football? If he's selling a $40 million mansion now, that thing doesn't usually sell overnight. Perhaps the preparation is it's going to take 2 years to sell. And maybe that's when he's thinking about leaving. Perhaps he says, well, this is a good time to put it on the market. Let's put it on there. Let's see if we can get what we want. And we can always rent a condo or rent something for a short amount of time, a couple of years while I'm in Boston. Maybe this has nothing to do with the end of the Patriots. Maybe this has nothing to do with the end of his career. But let's face it, shifting and looking at buying in the New York City area instead of Boston would feel to be a pretty direct correlation to focusing on Giselle's post-Tom Brady playing career. Because Giselle, I don't know what Tom Brady's vested interest would be in New York City. Perhaps there's businesses, perhaps there's media, who knows. But certainly for Giselle, being in the one of the epicenters, the meccas of the fashion world and the advertising world and the marketing world would make a lot of sense for Giselle. This is also an interesting time to put a house on the market because in many places, the housing market's a little depressed right now. That this is not exactly the best time to be looking to get top dollar on your home. We just had the feds cut the rate again, and this is going to be the lowest interest rates in a long time. And largely it's because there's been a lot of homes that have been overpriced in the market that people cannot afford. So to put a $40 million house, maybe you're not just dealing obviously with regular Joe Schmoes like us, but it's not exactly an unbelievable seller's market out there for houses.
Yeah, and as I've learned, the best time to put a home on the market to get top dollar is actually May, June, and July. By the time you've hit August, September, it really sinks.
Correct, because a lot of people want to buy houses with the intent of their children moving in and getting into school before September.
Correct.
So it makes a lot more sense to put it on if he put it on the market back in May. Now, perhaps it was on the market in May and we didn't know about it.
I have a hard time thinking that. It feels like we would be pretty up to snuff on everything Brady Giselle.
Do you think this is a direct line of the end of Tom Brady's playing career?
Yeah, because I think personally, without knowing her, but just kind of knowing her the way we all know her,
My assumption is this is part of the deal with Giselle. Look, this is going to be honey. It's going to be the last year. And she probably rushed to, all right, well, let's start seeing what we can get for our house if this is going to be the last year. Not realizing that in American TMZ culture, we were going to be all over Brady putting his house on the market.
Oh, I think they knew that.
I don't know about that. I think Giselle comes off a little naive.
Maybe.
If I'm a big Page Sixer. She comes off a little naive
okay.
to me.
All right. Now, it easily could take 2 years to sell this house or 3 years.
Oh, for sure. So maybe, and I'm sure they have the money to sell it, but I just think timing-wise, he signs an extension, quote-unquote, lowers the Patriots' cap hit, a deal that becomes void even if it's an extension right at the end of the year. We're done wondering when Brady's going to retire because he just seems like a Titantron, like he's going to play forever or something. Like, what were those things?
I don't know what word
you're
trying
to... What are the things with the movies with the Jake Gyllenhaal and the big things and they're like...
Pterodactyls?
No, Transformers.
Transformers.
He's like a Transformer.
Didn't know Transformers.
He's like indestructible. So we've gotten done guessing when Tom Brady's done?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we tried to do it the last 5 years. So now just when we're done guessing would be the time where this is going to be it for Brady. House is on the market. Go take the family off close to New York. Stay close to business interests in New York City. I think this is 1 + 1 = 2 for me. He's out of here.
Can I tell you this? I actually think there's a 60 to 70% chance that Tom Brady looks 42 years old this year. I think by the end of last year, remember, there were multiple games where we're like, whoa. Remember the interception of Joe Hayden in the Steelers game? We're like, wow, that never happened to Tom Brady. Remember how he looked in the Super Bowl? I mean, Brady looked like Jared Goff for most of that game, except for one great pass to Gronk.
Yeah. And by the way, D4 doesn't jump off sides. What are we saying about Tom Brady not coming off the Super Bowl?
Now, he had a really good AFC Championship game, although...
The numbers were there, but there were times in that game he looked quite cold.
Fair. And there were moments in multiple games that last year where we said, wow, that's really un-Brady-esque. But Brady ends up winning a Super Bowl, which almost had nothing to do with Tom Brady. That was an unbelievably bad quarterback performance by Jared Goff and a really good defensive performance by the Rams. But had the Rams pulled that out, the narrative would not be Brady can play forever. It would be, wow, Brady did not look good in that Super Bowl. But he won, and so it's totally different. I think this year he could look 42. I think he probably knows he could look 42. I think this could be a year where the Patriots are actually like 10-6, and they're a one and done of the playoffs, and that Brady's not going to play when he's going to be going 9-7 and throwing for 2,600 yards. So I think they could be preparing for life after football after this year. Now, I would say this. If Brady comes out and looks amazing and he throws for 4,000 yards and the Patriots go 14-2, I think he would come back for next year. Who cares if they sell the mansion or not? They could sell the mansion and he would come back for 2020.
Oh, what's going to rent an Airbnb? I mean, you don't have a home at that point. What do you do? He's not going to commute from Connecticut.
He has at least one other home that they own. They've got places to live.
Yeah, and also, what, you don't think he can just rent an unbelievable luxury skyrise in downtown Boston for a year?
I just know for buying a house right now, they do a lot of digging into financials. That seems like a lot of legwork for Brady. Why do you want to go through that?
If he wins...
There's a lot of reasons that you're not Tom Brady. Home buyers is absolutely number one.
I'm just saying, you go through a lot.
If he wins the Super Bowl this year, he's going to come back for 2020.
Why can't he retire like Elway and Payne after the Super Bowl? Like, why do we put that past Brady? By saying that, we're assuming he would never retire after winning a Super Bowl. He's only ever going to retire when he looks old. Why do we assume that?
Because I think he desperately loves winning Super Bowls so much and wants to create some type of separation between him and everybody else so that if he gets 7, he's going to want 8, and he's just going to want to keep doing this until he looks bad. But I'm saying he could look bad this year. And I know that we've been saying that for 5 years.
Well, Matt, Peyton Manning looked bad and won a Super Bowl in a year. He looked bad.
That's
we could
true.
Also see that happen.
We could, yes. And that was very obvious. Peyton needs to walk away. Bogish, do you think there's a correlation between House of the Market and Brady walking away?
I'm running with it just because it's more fun than the opposition. I mean, the idea that this is the first or second or third crack that he's going to go somewhere else or he thinks, because to me, I don't think he thinks he's done. Like, I believe him. I told this to Moose the other day. I think he plays a year somewhere else in a different uniform because it's going to take him the longest to realize he can't play anymore. The Pats will realize it before he does. So I don't think he's close to being done, but I do think he's now, and they definitely did not put this on the market by accident. Like, they knew what we were going to think when we found out about this coupled with the contract stuff. So this is definitely about the future. It's just how fast it all breaks apart. That's the question to me.
When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. including Matt Ryan discussing what Tom Brady has taught him about his own career. And Zach Greinke is so excited. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
Google. Yahoo. Facebook. Twitter.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll be taping a brand new PGP, Permission Granted Podcast today. That'll be out. The show about the show within the show. So find that all places podcasts are available, including radio.com. Marty Smith from ESPN is going to join us to talk a little college football next hour and his new book called Never Settle. There's a new theory on Antonio Brown and why his feet look all ripped up. They look disgusting. He put a picture on Instagram the other day. The bottom of his feet are all scabbed with skin falling off, massive blisters on the underside of his feet. We don't know why Antonio Brown has been not practicing. We know he's had foot problems. Last night, Hard Knocks didn't give us any background on that. The Raiders haven't given us any background on that. I'm not even sure that John Gruden knows what's going on with Antonio Brown, which is just perfect. Just perfect. But now Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, is saying that it's because Antonio Brown had frostbite on his feet, and this is just the best report ever. Sims heard from someone close to the matter that the foot issue has been caused by using a cryotherapy machine without proper footwear. Apparently, you got to put on socks when you, I don't know, sleep overnight in cryotherapy chambers.
I have a buddy who does this. It's special socks and slippers, too. It's two layers you need to be wearing at all times.
How long does your buddy do it for?
He does it once a month, and he's in there for about 45 minutes.
Oh, so it's not overnight.
No,
it's not like a hyperbaric chamber. You're only in there for a short amount of time.
It's totally different. It's supposed to like quickly give you healing in like the time that 8 hours would take with normal sleep or whatever. However they figure this out, I don't know.
But obviously it's a really concentrated, hyper-intense situation. It's cryotherapy, and that means it's super, super cold on your skin. And what you need, and for your body, what you need is obviously proper protection, because even if you only do it for 45 minutes, if you have exposed skin on the bottom of your feet and you're trying to heal your feet, it could be dangerous.
Yeah, from what I understand, your hands and feet, basically your quote-unquote extremities, need to be covered. And it's not just like your wool socks you get at Kohl's. They give you specific gear for this chamber.
This is awesome. So Antonio Brown is going to miss the first 2 weeks of the season with his brand new team on a massive new deal because he didn't wear socks inside the cold chamber.
He did like the average Joe equivalent of us thinking we don't need to wear the bowling shoes when we go to the bowling alley. You know, like, yeah, okay, give me these. I'm not going to wear them. But this is obviously something that would hurt you and hurt a lot of money.
You think that he's going to miss time for the season?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
I do.
I think he's missing week one. I think he's minimum missing week one.
And look, I don't want to throw anything out there, but you're telling me the slow process coinciding with Michael Thomas signing the richest deal to be a wide receiver doesn't have anything to do, hey, make the Raiders miss me, I'm going to want another extension at some point.
He just got a massive deal this offseason. He hasn't played one game on his new deal.
Does it matter
anymore?
You
think he's already negotiating for a higher contract? He's already renegotiating?
And you're telling me a year from now Odell Beckham's not going to do the same thing? He just got a massive deal.
Well, a year from now might be a little bit different. But right now, he just signed a brand new deal.
Have you seen Antonio Brown with the Eagle? The moment Michael Thomas passed him, you think that was in the back of his head, wait a minute, I'm not the highest paid receiver? He won't obviously get one, but you don't think he wants to make the Raiders know they're going to miss him?
So you think he's going to purposefully miss week
one? No. I wouldn't say purposely. I would say if he could push himself to go, but maybe he doesn't have to, I think in the back of his mind, money talks. Not that he's going to get an extension, but I think in the back of Antonio Brown's mind, he will not push himself the extra mile because he's not the highest paid receiver anymore.
Well, and the Raiders won't push him to get back if they worry about it because they just paid him all of this money. And so if he doesn't play a snap in the preseason, they probably don't care too much. I mean, I know John Gruden says we want him out there.
Week one regular season, if Hunter Renfrow is their number one receiver, there's going to be an issue.
Well, yes, that part, yes. I think that they want to be safe now versus getting him back on the field too early and risking the regular season. But, you know, that's the bottom of your feet. His whole game is all about quick on his feet, quick turns, explosion away from cornerbacks. And he's got unbelievable hands and speed as well, but the speed comes obviously from his feet. I just think that this is like worst case scenario, and it makes so much sense that Antonio Brown would just be adult and not know that he has to cover up his feet in the cryogenic chamber or whatever it was.
Do we even need the cryo? I mean, me and you have been fine. We've never been in one of these chambers. Why does he even need to be in there?
Well, why was he in there in the first place? Is he trying to fix like ankle sprains
or
something like that or a foot strain?
Right. I'm sure there are other aches and pains that go with it that would force him to go in there. The whole thing just seems so useless. You're telling me John Mackey ever was in a cryo chamber? Cryogenic chamber?
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
No. And, you know, careers are fine. Some of this technology is used. This isn't Bob Wiley with the stretching. I get it. But stop it. If you can get frostbite in something, it's not safe.
Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Matt Ryan told SiriusXM NFL Radio that the duration of Tom Brady and Drew Brees' careers have inspired him to think about his career much longer.
That's one of the things that I look at and say, all right, that's what I want to do. I want to play for a long time. I want, you know, be successful, have chances to win more Super Bowls as I, you know, get longer in the tooth. And so they've certainly motivated me to do that.
Well, Matt, you got to win one Super Bowl before you win more Super Bowls. But I understand your larger point there, and that is that Brady and Brees have recalibrated what quarterbacks think that they can do. Once upon a time was you hit 36, 37 years old, that's the end of your career. If you make 38, that's a hell of a long time. Only Warren Moon is able to really play effectively into his 40s. And that was largely because he didn't play in the NFL for the first 4 years of his career because he was exiled to Canada. So I get why Matt Ryan now feels like, hey, I can play until I'm 40. Look what Brees and Brady are doing. I just got to take care of my body. And the rules mean that you never get hit anymore. Tom Telesco, Chargers general manager, joined the Jim Rome show yesterday. Does he expect Melvin Gordon back?
Just don't have an update right now. So, you know, we're just preparing with what we have and with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson. You know, I just don't really, you know, I don't really put a confidence level on it. I'm not going to make any predictions or thoughts. I mean, like I said, we go into it, we have to prepare and have plans for all different situations.
Yeah, they should prepare for Melvin Gordon not to come back until week one of the regular season, unless he gets a raise. And even then, he's probably not going to want to run. None of these running backs want to run in the preseason. Teams don't even expect them to. So this becomes a thing once we get into the final 2 weeks of the preseason. Before that, it's just a guessing game. And finally, Zach Greinke, the always excitable, is fired up and motivated, discussing the atmosphere in his first start last night with the Astros.
Yeah, it was a big crowd. My family had a good time. A lot of the train action today, but it was a good game.
He's amazing. He's just amazing. That's why he was perfect for Kansas City, perfect for Arizona. Just be very quiet seasons, not in any crazy pennant races, no crazy intense media scrutiny. That's the best place for Zach Greinke, which is fun now that he had 41,000 people in the ballpark last night. How great is the renaissance of Houston baseball. They have 41,000 people, biggest crowd of the season last night for a regular season game, and people wanted to see Greinke. They're fired up in Houston for the team. They've got another great chance of winning a World Series. I love that Houston in football country has become a baseball town and that the Astros have inspired everybody there, and Greinke is really very excited about all of that, obviously. Very, very excited.
Hello, train action. Train.
choo-choo. I heard choo-choo a couple times. Train action. That's your sound check. Yeah, I love the train. It went choo-choo. And it looked like it was fun. And fans really, they liked it. All right, thanks, Zach. More motivational tactics from Zach Foley. He'll end up living in a van down by the river. When we come back, USA Today has unveiled its top 100 football teams ever, in accordance to the 100th anniversary of the NFL. Was this list solid, legit, or totally bunk? We'll do that next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.